Isaac walked up the mountain, his father by his side, never realizing he would be the sacrifice. And when Abraham raised up his hand to take his child's life, in his heart he must have wondered why. Sometimes God will take us to unexpected places, but in every situation we will find God will provide beyond what we've imagined, so much more than we could fathom. He will supply, God will provide, when we trust in Him completely and take each step believing like a child, God will provide. On another hill called Calvary, a father's only son was offered as a priceless gift of faithfulness and love. Amidst the cries of all mankind, God reached down from above, and He covered us with Christ's atoning blood. No matter what your need is, God will always lead us. I know His grace will always be enough. God will provide beyond what we've imagined, so much more than we could fathom. He will supply, God will provide, when we trust in Him completely and take each step believing like a child. God has provided beyond what I've imagined, so much more than I could fathom. He has supplied, God will provide, when we trust in Him completely and take each step believing like a child, God will provide. I know my God will provide.
Thank you, Nick. Well, we're honored to have Pastor Lorena with us, and he's been with us a couple times, and we've had he and his brother both with us, and we're excited to have him tonight, so why don't we give him a warm Pacific Baptist welcome.
Well, thank you very much. Amen, amen. Hello, hello. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be back in your church. I'm always excited to be in your church. This is an exciting church. Amen. It means this is a living church. And I thank God for Pastor. You know, we always remember Pastor Esposito in our prayer back there in Philippines. And thank you, Pastor Myler. Thank you very much allowing us to come. Amen. Open your Bible, please, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. You found it? Say aloud, amen. Amen. Verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God which ye heard of us, ye receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Loving Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the song that we heard. We thank you for the pictures that we saw in the work in Laos. I pray that you'll continue to bless them. And I pray, oh God, that please forgive us of our sin, cleanse our heart. I pray for the message tonight. Please empower the servant that you're going to use. I cannot do it by myself. If you are not going to use me, Lord, I am just good for nothing. So I beg your power, Holy Spirit of God. I pray that you empower me now. Give me words to say, to challenge, to encourage thy people. Thank you for this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated, please. We came in last May 2nd and May 9, our youngest daughter. By the way, I have my wife with me. Delia, would you stand up, please? Amen. Thank you very much. And I have also my sister-in-law and their kids. And we have four kids. Our eldest daughter got married. We have two grandkids from her. And then my eldest son is also married. We have a grandson 2 months old. And then last May 9, our youngest daughter got married here in Carson. She married with a missionary son that grew up in the Philippines and went to Heartland and graduate. And he talked to me. He asked me that he told me that he's interested in my daughter. I said, I don't know you, so I need to make a FBI background check. So I said, give me the phone number of your pastor and your school. So I called up, and seems he's a good boy. So I said, you come to Philippines and work with us. How many months? I said, 7 years. No, I'm just kidding. And, the good thing that really impressed me about him is he's a humble man, loves the Lord, and he's a soul winner. And I thank God. I believe that one of the greatest family is the family that serves the Lord together. So the wedding was May 9, and after the wedding, they asked me to say something, and I told to Jonathan, thank you for taking my responsibility. So praise the Lord. I told him the story. I said, you know, the story of the lion's wedding. Yes, he said, no. I'll tell you the story of the lion's wedding. And the mouse came to the groom, and the mouse told the groom, congratulations, of all the best, congratulations, my brother. Boy, the lion got angry to the mouse. The lion said, you call me brother, I'm a lion, you're a mouse. So the mouse whispered on the lion, he said, I used to be a lion before I get married. Welcome to the mouse family, okay? Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be in church on midweek service. I thank God for your church. I thank God for the testimony of your church. I'm so excited of your project. You need to thank God that you have a pastor with a vision. That his vision is not only on the four corners of the building, but all over the world. And maybe you don't know that your testimony, it affects a lot of pastors and missionaries. And I believe that one of the reasons that in spite of what America is, God's still blessing America because you are sending and supporting missionaries. And some of the Americans, you don't know what you have done to our country, Philippines. You help us a lot. During the war, you help us. After the war, you help us. But as far as I'm concerned, the greatest things that you have done to us when you send missionaries in the Philippines. I am one of the product. The reason I'm here, because you send missionary in the Philippines. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. And we should not get tired of training men and women who are willing to serve the Lord and sending them all over the world. That's the hope of the world. That's the hope of the country. Amen. Preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, the last praise, which I am going to dwell on it, the Bible says that ye receive it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You know, as far as missionary is concerned, Apostle Paul is the greatest example. He trained the nationals and turned over the work to the nationals. The Bible says that he ordained elders in every city. And you know the good thing of testimony of Apostle Paul, you know, he's been in many places. He went to Lystra, went to Iconium, and he went to Lystra, and he said he was stoned in Lystra. But, you know, in Thessalonica, the word of God was welcomed by the people. So the church in Thessalonica became a model church because of their godly reputation. They become a model church because of their godly reputation in the work of God. They had a good reception of the word of God and gave a high regard to the man of God. You know, the church should not forget the man of God. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, the reason that there was joy in the city because there was a man of God. In John chapter 1 verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And I thank God that John is not John the Methodist, not John the Catholic, but it's John the Baptist. Amen. So, Christian, we as a Christian, if we want to serve God and if we want to be useful in the service of God, you know, the word of God plays an important role in our life. To the unsaved people, the word of God has no value. I remember before I got saved, I don't like the Bible. When the pastor talked to me about the Bible, I'm not interested. But you know, the day when I got saved, the greatest Bible in my life is no other than the greatest book in my life is no other than the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E is that the book for me. I stand alone. The word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. That's why we have that song, "'Twas a grand day when I was born again. The place I used to go, I go there no more. The books I used to read, I read them no more." Why? Because of the word of God. And we know that the one that changes our life is not the program of the church. It's not the personality of the pastor. The one that changes our life is the word of God. That's why we need to get excited when we come to church. The reason that we are here tonight is because of the word of God. What kind of church we have without the Bible? When I say the Bible, it is the King James Bible. Thank God for the King James Bible, the preserved word of God. When we come to church, when we listen to this, every time your pastor and whoever stand behind the pulpit and preaches to you the word of God, you better listen to him, and we must receive it with readiness of our mind and our heart. We need to be prepared. I always tell our people back there in Philippines, every Sunday, before we come to church, it takes preparation. We need to be prepared, because if we come to church that we are not prepared, the word of God becomes nothing for us. You know, in the Old Testament, the Sabbath day is the seventh day. On the Sabbath day, they don't work. On the Sabbath day, they are not allowed to travel more than 2 miles. But you know what? On the sixth day, they are preparing. Why? Because the seventh day, it is a memorial of the end of creation. But in the New Testament, it is the first day. Why? Because it is a memorial of Christ's resurrection. That's why the first day is a special day. That's why first day, God wants his people to be in the house of God. Preparation. If we want to get excited when we come to church, if we want to be happy, if we are in church, we need to prepare for church. Amen. You know what David said? I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go unto the house of the Lord." Preparation. Why? Because success is not based on performance. It is always based on preparation. We need to get excited on Sunday.
And listen to this. That's why in every independent Bible-believing, soul-winning Baptist church, the Saturday is always the busiest day. Why? We are preparing for the following day. It is the day that God's people ought to be in the house of God. That's why the church must be a happy place. Amen. So we must receive it with readiness. And then we must receive the word of God rejoicing. Amen. We need to receive the word of God rejoicing. In Psalms chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditate day and night. Amen. Get excited. We need to say amen. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. You know, one time there was a man that came to our church. In our church, we shout amen. Praise the Lord. I want a lively church. I want people excited about the word of God. Amen. Some people, they're excited about the sports, but they're not excited about the word of God. We need to get excited about the word of God. And there was a man that came to our church. And our people, especially the men, they shout amen. And then I make a follow-up. And he told me, Pastor, I like your church. I like the message in your church. But the only thing I don't like, your people are noisy. I said, why? Why do they shout amen? To God be the glory. Say it again. Some people will say, rewind. I want a solemn place. Must be quiet. I said, well, you need to go to the cemetery. It's a quiet place. But independent Baptist church ought to be excited about the word of God. We must receive with readiness and rejoicing. And not only that, we must receive the word of God with reverence. Amen. We must receive the word of God with reverence. God is talking to us through his word. So we must give respect and reverence to the preaching of the word of God. So when the preaching is going on, when you get in to the, when you get into the auditorium, you need to switch off your cell phone. Amen. Off the cell phone, open the ear, and open the heart. I told our people that, you know, every time you come to this auditorium and the preaching of the word of God begins, this is the operating room of our heart. Amen. This is the operating room of our heart. So you need to get excited when the preacher preaches the word of God. Get excited. Get what you can get and get what God wants you to do. We need the word of God. No time in our life that we don't need the word of God. We need the word of God not only on Sunday, not only on Thursday, not only on Saturday, but every day of our life. We need the word of God. Why? Because the word of God is pure. The word of God is pure. It is perfect. It is profitable. And it is powerful. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is quick and powerful. The word quick, it means alive. That's why the word of God, it will hurt you, it will hurt me. But every pastor, I always tell our people, we are here, I'm preaching to you the word of God, not to hurt you, but to help you. But sometimes the word of God will hurt you. So when the pastor step on your toes, don't get mad at him. We are just preaching the word of God. We are just the mouthpiece of God. Amen. You know, please open your Bible in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 10 to 11. The Bible says, for us the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and return not thither, but watch over the earth and make it and come it down in the snow from heaven and return it and not thither, but watch over the earth and make it bring forth and bad, and that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall thy word be goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and I shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That's why we need the word of God. Amen. The Bible is the amazing book. It is the amazing book. It is always fresh. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. It is an amazing book. The Bible is an amazing book. When you are down, it will lift you up. When you are up, it will bring you down. When you are in, it will get you out. And when you are out, it will get you in. Oh, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, is that the book for me? I stand alone, the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. That's why I encourage the Sunday school teacher, don't belittle of what you are doing to the children's department. Don't belittle of what you are doing in your teaching, in Bible teaching, or in Sunday school. That is the greatest responsibility. What we are giving to the people are the pure word of God. It is profitable. It is powerful. Amen. And it changes life. So the question tonight is, what should be the effect of the word of God in our lives? What should be the effect of the word of God in our lives? When you are listening to the preaching, what should be the effect of the word of God in our lives? Number one, there should be a realization. There should be a realization. What do you realize when you listen to the preaching of the word of God? Do you still remember when you got saved? When you got saved during the preaching, that you realize that you're a sinner because the preacher preaches to you that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? And you realize that you're a sinner. Listen, when the pastor preaches about Romans 3 verse 10 and 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know, the key verse that really opens my heart is Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And the pastor expounded and says, as a sinner, you will go to hell when you die. And I said, I'm a sinner and I don't want to go to hell. But praise God, he did not only preach that men are sinners and going to hell, but there is a way to skip out of hell, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood. That's the power of the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. The power of the blood never changes. Amen. So I realize I'm a sinner. I receive Christ in my heart as my personal Savior. But every time we come to church and listen to the preaching, there must be, or this should be, a realization. You know, every time you hear the word of God, you must realize something and you must understand something. Listen to this. As a Christian, maybe you don't follow in water baptism yet. You need to follow. Because the first step of obedience is to follow in water baptism. And as a Christian, you need a local church. A church that will teach you the word of God. Because the Great Commission and the teaching of the Word of God was given to the local church. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them. That is discipleship. That's why Sunday school is very important. You will never grow in your Christian life if you are not attending Sunday school. You will never grow in your Christian life if you don't have the Word of God. So you realize that the importance of the Word of God, that's why you need a church. Yeah, you realize as a Christian that you need to pay your tithes. Where is the amen now? makes you quiet. See, you realize that you need to pay your tithes. You pay your tax, you pay your tithes. You pay your tax to the government, you pay your tithes in your local church. Amen. So, and then you realize that you need to give for the mission, for faith promise offering. You need to, you realize that you need to give a sacrificial offering. You need to thank God that you have a pastor that has a vision to build a great building. It's not for him, it's not for, but for the next generation. Where are we tonight without the church? Listen to this. This is the greatest investment. You invest your life in this local church. Invest your family. Invest your money. Invest your everything. What you have invested here, you will see up there. Amen. So there should be a realization. Maybe you realize that you need to forsake sin. Amen. You need to forsake sin. You know, people are confused. Who are the real Christians? It's easy to identify who are the Islam, but it's hard to identify who are the real Christians. Bible says, "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Maybe you realize the importance of the church attendance. Thank God for Thursday night attendance. Don't you listen to this. Members, don't take for granted of your church. Your church is a great church. Don't take it for granted. You know, you can tell what kind of church, not only on Wednesday, not only on Sunday morning, but you come on Sunday night and Wednesday night or Thursday night, midweek service. That's the gauge of the church. That's the gate of the light, the gauge of the life of the church. And thank God that you are here tonight. God bless your faithfulness. And God always rewards faithfulness. Amen. Maybe you realize that you need to get involved in soul winning. Why? Soul winning is the life of the church. Amen. Soul is the breath of the Bible. The Bible is not only a written word, it's not only a spoken word, but this is the living word that changes life. Amen. So maybe you realize that you need to get involved in soul winning. Or maybe you will tell pastor, "I'm faithful in giving. Giving is one thing, but soul winning is the main thing." Maybe you sacrifice a lot for your building fund. Praise the Lord. God bless your heart. But sacrificing for the building is another thing, but soul winning is the main thing. So what we need to do is to be excited about soul winning. Get excited about soul winning. Get excited about to see soul saved. By the grace of God, last February was our 36th anniversary. The Pichardo family is one of our first fruits in Dornaking in the Philippines. I thank God for them, that God is using them here. Soul winning. I told our people, if only 50% of our members are involved in soul winning, it is not yet a soul winning church. Because soul winning is not only the job of the pastor, the missionary, the Sunday school teacher, not only the job of the Bible students, it is the responsibility of every member of the local church family. Soul winning. You can have that big building, praise the Lord, but when your church quits soul winning, the church will die. That's the reason that we have a lot of dying churches. Because they quit soul winning. They become complacent about soul winning. That's why every pastor, we always motivate people to learn to love God, because when they fall in love with God, they are going to love whom God loves. Amen. So there should be a realization. when you listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Number two, not only a realization, but there should be an understanding of restriction. When you listen to the Word of God, there are things in our life that we don't need to do. Amen. When I started smoking and drinking wine, I was between 10 and 11 years old. But when I received Christ in my heart as my personal Savior, I quit that. It is not God's design for man and woman to smoke cigarettes. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If it is God's design for a man and a woman to smoke cigarette, God will put a chimney on the top of our head. But praise the Lord, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when you listen to the preaching of the Word of God, you will know the don'ts of God. You will know the don'ts of God. Aside from realization, you will also see your boundaries as a Christian. Amen. There are things that we should not do. We should not drink wine. We should not smoke cigarette. Don't tell me that when you smoke and you're going to say, I'm on fire for the Lord. No. You got the wrong fire. See, as a Christian, we need to live a separated life. And if you're a man, you need to look like a man and act like a man. And be a man. And if you're a woman, you need to look like a woman. Amen. There's no in between. So, we find here, brethren, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, and the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So the realization here, brethren, is not all service is acceptable unto God. The question tonight, is our service acceptable unto Him? But the restriction, you look at it in verse 2. In verse 2 it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I always teach our young people, if you are planning and praying for get married, I said, don't marry an unsaved. You need to ask God. If you are a young lady, you are looking for a lifetime partner, ask God to give you a man that loves God. Because if he loves God, he will love you. Vice versa. Amen. Whose children are saved people? God. How about unsaved? Whose children they are? Satan. When you marry Satan's kids, who will be your father-in-law? So there is restriction. Amen. There's a restriction. Restriction for us, Christian. Just like in school, there is regulation, rules and regulation. And you're also in your work, in your job, in the company where you work. How much more in the service of God? Amen. So there's a restriction. There is always a restriction. You know, that's why we need the Word of God. In Psalms 119, verse 105, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. That's why we need the Word of God. So I said, number one, there should be a realization. Number two, there should be an understanding of restriction. And number three, when you listen to the Word of God, there should be a resolution or decision. Now that you hear the word of God, what will be your response? What is your decision? Am I going to obey or disobey of what I heard tonight? Am I going to obey or disobey? Am I going to obey God or disobey Him? It's just like kids. Am I going to disobey my dad and mom or obey them? The Bible says obey them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Please open your Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verse 26 to 28. 11:26 to 28. The Bible says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandment of the Lord your God. So when you disobey, what you're going to have? Curse. But when you obey, what you're going to have? Blessing. It's just like two vehicles. A vehicle of obedience and a vehicle of disobedience. If you take the vehicle of obedience, it will bring you to blessing. But when you take the vehicle of disobedience, it will take you to cursing. The question tonight, what vehicle are you in? What vehicle are you in? It's just like you are going to Sacramento and you found out that you are in Tacoma. And you can ask yourself, why am I in Tacoma? That's not the question. What flight did you take in? The reason that you are in Tacoma because you take the flight going to Tacoma. The reason that you are cursed because you take the vehicle of disobedience. Look at Abraham. He obeyed. Never questioned God. And God made him a promise. Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. When did God give him a son? After 25 years. When Abraham received the son, you know, God told him, Abraham, take thy son, thy only son, to Mount Moriah and offered him to me. Can you imagine after 25 years? And God told him to bring it to Mount Moriah and offered him to God. But he did not complain. He just obeyed. Why? Because he is so excited to see that city that the builders is not him, but the builders is God. Obedience. There should be a resolution. You remember the prodigal son? After he got everything from his dad, went away and lived a riotous living. And then he realized, I commit sin from my dad. I'm going back. I'm going to repent what I did. Listen to this. Maybe you are a Sunday school, used to be a Sunday school teacher, used to be a soul winner, used to be a faithful giver, used to be a choir member, but you quit. Tonight, it's time for you to go back. Just like the prodigal son, he realized and he made a resolution, I'm going back. I'm going back. I'm going back to soul winning. I'm going back to Bible reading. I'm going back to church attendance. I'm going back to Sunday school teaching. I'm going back. I'm going back. Listen to this. The question tonight is this. Is the Word of God still working on you? Does it have an effect on you? Does it bring you to a realization? Does it make you understand your restriction? Does it bring you to a resolution to perform the will of God? It is a tragic thing for a believer not to be affected by the Word of God. The Bible says, We should not be not just a listener, but a doer. And once you heard the word of God, the Bible says, don't hurt in your heart. You come to Him. You come to Him. If you realize something and understand something, you come to Him. Listen to this. We come to church to be blessed by the word of God. But the question tonight, are you affected? If you are not yet saved, you need to receive Christ in your heart as your personal Savior. And if you are affected by the message tonight, God speak to your heart. You come to this old-fashioned altar. And if you are not convicted, again, come forward. Talk to God. Lord, why am I not convicted? Shall we all stand up, please?